Well, the Lord just impressed me to read something. So I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith the Lord, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. You know what, folks? We're coming to a day when they're going to feed less and less and less. They're tripping out on their high living. A lot of them are, that have been leading God's sheep astray and feeding off the sheep and getting fat off the sheep. But they're not really feeding the sheep. And sooner or later, the elect are going to realize, all of the elect that are trapped in these systems of men, they're going to realize that they're not getting fed, and they're going to be hungry, and they're going to have problems, and they're going to need answers, and the answers aren't going to be there. And so God's going to use this to make a large number of people dissatisfied and go searching for God and seeking His Word and searching out His Word, and God's going to deliver them. And verse 4 says, The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought back that which was driven away, and neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. Well, that's most of the church we're talking about here, the leadership of most of the church. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 5, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they'll pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and a prayer of faith shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Well, you know, so obviously, if elders can do that, the overwhelming majority of what we call the church today doesn't have elders, right? Verse 5 says, And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field, and were scattered. You know, the overwhelming majority of people who confess to have had an experience with the Lord are out there in the world right now, because they tried church for a little while, they didn't get answers, they didn't get their needs met, spiritual or physical, and they got frustrated. And they went out in the world. One of the things that frustrates people is if you see what God says, but your religion says that it's no good, it doesn't work, it's not for today, all these things to destroy the Word of God, make of no effect the Word of God by tradition, right? This frustrates people because they begin to listen to that and deny God's Word. And, of course, if you deny God's Word, God will deny you. And so, anyway, they become frustrated that God really doesn't care about them and is not meeting their needs and doesn't show them how to walk by faith, and they just fall away and go into the world. And they're there now. Multitudes of them. My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon the face of the earth, and there was none that did search nor seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, surely, for as much as my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food to all the beasts of the field. In other words, if you don't feed them, if you don't strengthen them, if you don't help them to put on their armor, they're going to be plundered by the world, by the devil, by his minions, all the beasts, right? Plundered by the beasts. Because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds seek for my sheep. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the sheep. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. Folks, the time is coming when multitudes are going to flock out of these places where they're not being fed. God is going to deliver His sheep out of their mouth. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily they're going to be emptied, because there's a lot of people that aren't his sheep. You remember when Jesus went into the sheepfold and he called his sheep by name. He didn't say he called all the sheep out. He called his own by name, and he called them out, you see. Because there's multitudes of them in there that aren't his sheep. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep. Oh, glory to God. And I will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And here we come, folks. We're coming to the cloudy and dark day. The Lord's going to seek out his sheep. He's going to teach them himself. Yes, he is. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. You see, God's sheep are coming out from the peoples, and they are coming into their own land, the own land of Israel, spiritual New Testament Israel, not the physical land. I'll bring them into their own land, and I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the water courses in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, they will enter into a rest. They will be at peace, right? And I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring back that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But the fat and the strong will I destroy. I will feed them in justice. The fat, of course, is those that have been feeding off of the others, right? He says, I'm going to destroy them. I remember a sister that I was used by the grace of God to bring out of an apostate religion and into the full gospel. And she had a revelation of her pastor. And in the revelation, his name was Mr. Strong. And she didn't know what that meant. And I said, well, that's right out of Ezekiel 34. The fat and the strong will I destroy, and I will feed them in justice. Mr. Strong. Verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. God's going to judge between sheep and sheep. There are some folks that they're more persecutors than they are sheep, you know. They're more wolves than they are sheep. They take advantage of God's people, and they will persecute us because of our stand for Christ and our desire to be disciples of Christ. It was that way in Jesus' day. I mean, God was deciding between the sheep, right? And the righteous he was calling out. Right? Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? Well, of course, that means that the walk of some of God's people and the walk of some of the leaders of God's people is fouling the water so that the rest of the sheep don't get an idea of what the clear water looks like, because they're judging too much by what they see happening in the walk of other people. Verse 19, and as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Well, we just heard about the fat sheep, right? That's the apostates, many of the leaders that are not caring about the needs of the lean sheep, the righteous, right? Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Yes, he will. Who is the righteous and who is the wicked? He is going to bring judgment. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And that, of course, is the Lord himself, right? You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 that he shall have the throne of his father David, speaking about Jesus. He's the one shepherd that's going to feed his own sheep. Praise be to God. And he says, I will be their God, and they shall be, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, this wasn't talking physically of David, was it? Because David passed away some 500 years before this, so it had nothing to do physically with David. It's talking about in the future, of course, Jesus being the shepherd and feeding his sheep. And we know that the Lord also is coming back in his people in these days. He's coming to be manifested in his people and the first fruits of his people to sit down in his throne, the place of dominion, the place of authority, is going to be his man-child. But it's still the Lord going to be doing the work. It's going to be the Lord feeding his sheep. We're going to see the ministry of Jesus Christ very soon through his people. It's going to be by grace. It's going to be because of his love. It's going to be because the Bible says he will stand and feed his flock, Micah chapter 5. And this was after the man-child was born, it says in Micah chapter 5. He's going to stand and feed his flock. And that is, of course, in his modern-day Davids that he is raising up. Great move of God is about to go forth of true shepherds of God, gifted of God to do this work. And the Lord himself is going to feed his own sheep, and he's going to search for them, and he's going to pull them out of the world and all their places that they've been stumbling and backsliding, and he's going to lead them and guide them. You know, folks, many of these people would have never fallen into the world at all if they would have had answers from what they called and what they thought was the church. If they just would have had enough word to make them stand, they would have never fallen into the world in the first place. Many of them wouldn't have. Frustration and failure and causes a lot of them to do that. Sometimes their own failure because they don't know how to receive power from God to stand. And how to defend themselves against Satan, who is out to destroy them, out to drag them back into the world. And since they're, in many cases, they have no defensive weapons because they don't know that faith works to defend them. They don't have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, an offensive weapon. The devil just plunders them, you know, just plunders them. In some cases, he's plundering them while they're sitting on the pew, and they may not be leaving the church world, but they're still, you know, no threat to the devil and his kingdom, because they're not growing up in God's kingdom, right? But God is going to raise up this wonderful ministry. You know, in the time of Jesus, who was the son of David, he was the true king and shepherd over true Israel, let me say. But there was also a king, King Herod, who was actually an Edomite. He was a king over false Israel, physical Israel. You had a true king and a false king involved there, you know. Herod the Edomite. And, you know, it's a funny thing, but God has the Edomites, of course, Esau's clan, they were sons of Abraham too. But they were a sheep that I feel God was separating from his Jacob's. You know, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And what the Lord is talking about there is his people. Those who were sons of Abraham, but like Esau, they sold their birthright, you know, by walking after the flesh. So that's what the Edomites represent. And the fact that Jesus represents or is going to come manifested in a corporate body of people in this day, because obviously God's people have spread throughout the earth and one person is not going to be their king, but but the Lord himself is going to be through a corporate body of people, lets you know that Herod, in Jesus' day, also represents a corporate body of people that have been ruling over God's people, and they're not what they seem to be. Many people thought Herod was a Jew, you know. Well, he understood the Jewish religion, and in some ways he respected it, but he was an Edomite. He was a son of Abraham through the seed of Esau. So, let me say something about the Edomites. The Edomites helped Babylon when Babylon conquered Israel. When Babylon brought into submission the people of God, the Edomites sided with Babylon. You might say they were very patriotic. You know, we're coming to the place, folks, where these people are going to prove their true self. They're going to side with the beast. They're going to persecute God's people. Throughout history, this has happened. You know, Herod's father, Antipater, the Edomite, he helped the Romans. And because he helped the Romans, he was given a rule over Israel. You know, throughout history, the Lord has used the Edomites to persecute God's people, to rule over them. And now, folks, let me tell you, a lot of the people that we find in the pulpits, spiritually speaking, they're Edomites. You know, what did he say in the first part of this chapter? You know, that he was against the shepherds, and he would require his sheep at their hands. And they're not doing their job. You know, they're not feeding the sheep. They're not healing the sheep. They're not seeking them out. They're not doing any of these things. They're just getting fat off the sheep. Well, that identifies an awful lot of people out there that are in it for ulterior motives. And the Lord is going to judge them. And he's going to separate the sheep from the sheep. He's going to separate the Edomites from the true Israelites. The Jacobs from the Esau's is what he's going to do. And when is he going to do that? He's going to do it when David is king. Now, we're coming back to that time again now. There's a big separation coming. And guess who's going to side with Babylon again? Guess who's going to side with the Roman Empire again? These same people. These same apostate people. Because they're really not Israelites. Oh, they were given the position of being sons of Abraham. But they sold their birthright. They're selling it every day. But once again, history is going to repeat. And, you know, remember what Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod. And that's what he's talking about, is the false word that's being passed on to the people from the false kings, you know, that have been ruling over God's people. Once again, God's going to raise up his Davids, and he's going to rule through them as a first fruits. He's going to rule through them, and then he's going to raise up many others to be leaders. We're coming to a really good time in the Lord for God's people, and I'm very encouraged about it. In fact, what it says here after David's ministry starts in verse 25 says, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. In other words, he's talking about the people under David. That would have been the people under Jesus. That would be the people under the man-child in our day. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause evil beasts to cease out of their land, and they shall dwell securely in the wilderness. And as you note, the wilderness is the tribulation. And sleep in the woods. They're going to be so peaceful, they will be able to rest. He will make his sheep to lie down in green pastures, right? They will be able to rest. He will cause them to enter into a rest in a time when the whole world's in turmoil. And I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. Yes, he's talking about the latter rain, right? There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit. And the earth shall yield its increase. He's talking about his crop, right? His crop. It's going to bear fruit. His people are going to bear fruit in the wilderness, as he says over and over in Isaiah in particularly. and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. Of course, we need to dwell in our land, right? The land where God's people belong, their land, right? We need to dwell in the place where God's word is kept and where his kingdom is and where he rules, right? Dwell in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. Praise be to God. That's coming, folks. I mean, I know it's already happening for some of you out there. You feel the joy of being released from bondage. You feel it. You know it. And you can rejoice over it. But you know, we have a lot of brethren still in bondage, and the Lord has a wonderful plan. And he's going to use some of you greatly. You know, some of you that are listening today, you know, some of you that are the first fruits, you know, some of you that are going to be members of his man-child body and members of his two-witness body and members of the five-fold ministry and members of all the other ministries that the Lord is raising up, you know, because obviously God's calling us all into the ministry, right? In our place, in our time, he's calling us all to do a work for him. And glory to God, his fruit in us is going to do the work, isn't it? It's not I, but Christ that liveth in me, right? He's going to do the work through us. He said, when I've broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them, and they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Yep, you know, there's no reason. The beasts, God raises up the beasts. He raised up all the beast kingdoms, you know, to persecute and to bring into captivity rebellious people, his rebellious people. But you know what? If we learn to submit and we bear our cross today, there'll come a time when we will be free. We will be free from bondage, and we can walk free of the beast, while many of our brethren who haven't learned that lesson yet will still have to go under their cross, you know? So, I mean, I'm not saying everybody that the beast is conquering or bringing to their cross is not of God. On the contrary, I mean, many times people may be used as an Esau and need chastening of the Lord. And the Lord knows, you know, he takes care of all that. He's the judge. But those that his David ministry raises up, he said they'll dwell securely in the wilderness and they'll be free of that bondage. They'll dwell securely. Verse 29 says, and I will raise up unto them a plantation for renown. They shall be no more consumed with famine in the land, neither bear the shame of the nations any more. And they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. Praise God. They'll no longer bear their shame among the nations, right? They'll no more be consumed with famine. See, there's a famine coming. We're coming to the 7 years of famine. But, as you know, God's got his people storing up in the kingdom, getting prepared for those 7 years of famine. If they've been faithful, the Lord's going to make sure that their needs are met because they've stored up under Jesus or Joseph, right? So don't fear, folks. Don't be afraid. The Lord is going to be your provider. In fact, we're coming into this place of weakness for the very purpose of learning that lesson, that we don't have to trust in Egypt anymore. We don't have to trust in the flesh pots anymore. We can trust in God who is storing up our provision as we speak, just like Joseph was. And ye, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. Praise be to God. God's going to set his people free from the Edomites. He's going to judge between the sheep and the sheep. And the true sheep of God are going to have the true shepherd of God. He said there'll be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord himself is coming to shepherd his sheep. Won't that be wonderful and awesome? Oh, he's still just coming in the body of David like he did the first time, because history just repeats. But it's not the flesh that means anything or counts anything, right? It's the one who lives in there. And we know the good news is once again being shed abroad in the earth in Colossians chapter 1. The good news that the Lord is coming to finish. Let me read that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. So even the mystery which has been hid for ages and generations, but now hath been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it was hid for ages, and Paul and the apostles and Jesus revealed this wonderful revelation. And guess what happens? The church falls back into bondage and loses the revelation. But we know that in the latter rain, the Lord is going to restore all things, right? Everything that's been plundered from his crop, he's going to restore it. So this revelation is coming back. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I labor also, striving according to that his working which worketh in me mightily. His working which worketh in me mightily. See, we just have to get out of the way, folks. The Lord's planning on doing it through us. It's not a matter of us picking ourselves up by our bootstrap. This is the Lord's work. It's not our work. It's his work. And he's going to do a wonderful, awesome work. You see, we have to walk by faith. Our faith is in him. Our faith is that he will do the work through us. And that we will find grace to cooperate with his work through us, right? And we will come into agreement with him so that when he works through us, we won't resist him, right? How many of you know that most of God's people, through ignorance of the word, end up fighting against God and resisting him because they don't believe it is God, right? It's wonderful to know God's plan, because then you can see the joy in it and you can cooperate with him in it, and it's just a wonderful thing then. But if you don't know it, it's very confusing. If you don't understand what God's plan is and what he's doing, it's confusing. And what you see, many times you mistake for the devil's work. So you fight against it. As you know, if Jesus came into most assemblies today, they would fight against him, thinking that this is a work of the devil here. I mean, that's what they accused Jesus of in his day, right? Cast out demons by Beelzebub, accusing him of doing these works by the devil. Can you imagine today most of the church not being full gospel, not believing in the power of God, nor these things, would accuse him the same way today, wouldn't they? So we got a really sick church today, folks, and the Lord is coming to set things straight. But he's going to decide between the sheep and the sheep, and he's going to call his sheep by name, and he's going to call them out. And then they're going to follow the Son of David. Let the Edomites continue to rule over those apostates. That's what they need, till they get enough. And most of them won't ever get enough. But the next chapter, chapter 35, is basically God's judgment upon the Edomites, their persecution of God's people. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the fact that we've got these people today, physically speaking. I mean, you know, the Ishmaelites and the Edomites and the Ammonites and the Moabites. These people are what have been called the Arabs. You know, they kind of lump everything into Arabs. But these people are the ones that are persecuting God's natural people today. And so it's only right for us to understand that all these things are for types and shadows. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, everything that happened unto them is for a type and a shadow for the church. So we know that the church is now Israel, not physical Israel, but spiritual Israel. And so spiritually there have to be Edomites and Ishmaelites and Ammonites and Moabites, these people that are persecuting God's people today. Well, that's what is going to be proven. Who it is that leads carnal Israel today. It's the Herods of today. And who it is that persecutes and sides with Babylon and sides with Roman beasts today against God's people. So chapter 35 is basically that story. You know? 35 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir." Mount Seir, of course, was the capital of the Edomite Empire, right? "And I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment." Well, isn't that something? This is an abomination of desolation. And who is it happening upon? Well, those people who were sons of Abraham but sold their birthright, right? An abomination of desolation. Now, you can see desolation down through here. If I remember, I counted one time, maybe eight times or something like that, down through this chapter. Desolation, desolation, desolation. "I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. And I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because thou hast had a perpetual enmity, and hast given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end." Notice that, of the end. See, some people say, oh, this was all fulfilled in the past. It's not really going to have an end time revelation. In fact, some people say that, and which is partially true, that I think around the 6th century B.C., the Babylonians and the Nabataeans, they destroyed the Edomite Empire. That's true, but they didn't destroy all their seed. Okay, that there really is no kingdom that's called an Edomite kingdom today. Well, that's right, but there are the Palestinians, and there are the, you know, just multitudes of peoples that don't have a kingdom with their name on it. And but they have had a perpetual enmity, naturally speaking, against the natural Jews. And it's the same in the spiritual kingdom of Israel. They've had a perpetual enmity. You know, he that's born after the flesh is always persecuted, Paul said, him that's born after the Spirit. It's that way today in Christianity. You've got people out there that don't do anything but argue and fight against the people who want to know God, want to walk as disciples, and want to walk in the Spirit. They argue and fight, and yet they profess themselves to be Christians, children of Abraham. But God says he's going to deliver them over to their own calamity and the iniquity of the end. Right? But these people delivered God's people over to calamity. They're persecuting God's people. And God says there's going to be an end to that. He's going to deliver his people out of the bondage of these people. And he's going to cause his shepherd David to lead his people to be free of that. But God's going to remember what these people have done to his people. He's going to bring trouble upon them. Verse 6. "Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee." Well, folks, I don't know if anybody's going to believe what's getting ready to happen with these people. You know, I'm sad for them, because I know that just about anybody, it doesn't matter. I don't think we ought to judge any man after the flesh, or know no man after the flesh. We're all men can be born again and come into Christ and be perfectly at peace with God's people. But the Lord is about to send a great judgment upon these people in the natural and in the spiritual. Listen, there's a war that's going to happen over in that Middle East, and it is going to be, you know, just a terrible thing. America is going to retaliate, for what happens, for what is coming to America, is going to retaliate furiously in the Middle East and wipe out and cause warfare and destroy nation after nation over there, folks, and cause them to be fighting against one another over there. Jeremiah 25 is plain. These nations are going to be mad because of what Babylon brings as the cup of wrath into their midst. You know? But even beside all that, because of this great devastation that's going to go on in the Middle East, there's going to be a lot of Arab people coming to the Lord. A lot of people are going to decide that their God hadn't done anything for them, and they are certainly right. And they're going to come to the Lord. You watch. This is going to be our opportunity. Now, if you're one of those Christians that thinks fleshly, and you're angry with Arab, Muslim, Iranian, you know, other people, you're angry with them for Israel's sake, you're going to miss out on the chance, you see, because God's got his people in there. And we need to love our enemies and do good to them that despitefully use us and be ready to give a good word to these people who have lived in bondage. You know, some of these people are really going to appreciate the freedom and the joy of the Lord that they've never had before. You know, living in bondage to their own flesh, living in bondage to the expectations of other people around them. Can you imagine how much they will appreciate what the Lord is going to do for them? And you know what? There's a lot of satisfied and self-righteous Christians that don't appreciate the Lord. Not enough to obey Him, they don't. You know, some of these people are going to come in and take your place if you're one of those folks. You're going to lose your crown to some of these people that you're angry with and fighting against and agreeing with America to go plunder and kill. These people are going to come into the kingdom and take your place. You know what? We have to be what Jesus commanded us to be. Love our enemies and do good to them. Because when this great judgment comes upon these peoples, multitudes of God's people are going to come out of their midst. And the strange thing is, believe it or not, these people are going to be Jews. And the natural Jews who are rejecting Jesus are not Jews, according to what Jesus said and what Paul said. You need to go back and read your Bible. Wouldn't that be interesting? Here is some Arabs that are Jews, and the Jews are not Jews. Yeah. Some strange things God's going to do. Glory to God. Verse 6, therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation, and I will cut off from it him that passeth through and him that returneth. And I will fill its mountains with its slain. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy watercourses shall they fall that are slain with the sword. Yes, there is going to be a great slaughter, folks, but the Lord's going to get a people out of there. You watch and see. And I will make thee a perpetual desolation. Thy cities shall not be inhabited, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be nuclear warfare over there. There's going to be places of desperation when people, you know, reach out and use nuclear warfare. And there'll be places that won't be inhabited anymore. And the world will sit up and say, we have waited too long. Let's bring in our new world empire. We've got to have peace. Peace, peace, peace and safety, right? And then they're going to put together the 10 kings that we talked about earlier, right? The 10 kingdoms, the 10 continental divisions of the earth are going to all come together in the fear of what they've just seen and the fear of retaliation of these people that have been destroyed too. And verse 10 says, because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. You know, these people are seeking the land in a natural, I'm talking about. They're seeking a land that never belonged to them. They believe it belonged to them, but it never belonged to them. And in the natural, it was given to the Jews. But they will seek to possess that. Boy, isn't it something how that they have fought against that little tiny piece of property? I mean, Jordan could have given these people land. There's just lots and lots of land. There's already a Palestinian state, folks. It's called Jordan. You know, they didn't need to take out a piece of this land here. And why is this happening, that they're all fighting over this little tiny piece of land? Well, it's because the Lord is bringing everybody to the end of themselves, you know. These two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. Whereas the Lord was there, therefore as I live, says the Lord, I will do according to thine anger, and according to thine envy, which thou hast showed out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known unto them when I shall judge thee. Now there's something else. There it is, something again. God's going to give a revelation to even natural Jews because of the judgment he's going to bring upon their enemies. And God's going to give a revelation to people who are hidden out there in the world who are spiritual Jews, going to be born again because of the judgment upon their enemies. Everything is natural and spiritual. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have heard all of thy revilings, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate. They are given us to devour. And you have magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and have multiplied your words against me. And I have heard it. Yep. The Edomites are going to think they've got the high hand. The Ishmaelites, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, they're going to think they've got the high hand now. But everything is going to be turned around, folks. There's only safety on the mountains of Israel. Spiritual Israel. New Testament Israel. These are the high places of God. So with your mouth you've magnified your words against me. And I have heard it. And thus saith the Lord, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate, as thou didst rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate. So will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all of Edom, even all of it. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Praise be to God. The Father's got a plan, and I thank God that I know that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and nobody restrains His hand, and that I'm sure glad that He's given me grace to be on His side. And I know that I need to go to my cross, and I do die daily, but I know that the Lord's going to finish the good work He started in me, He's going to do that in you. And He's going to do it because He loves us. You know, and He's ordering this whole world for our sake. Even our enemies are necessary. You know, remember what He said? He said, He shall be to me a son, and I shall be to him a father. And if he commits sin, I will chasten him with the rod of the children of men. Spare the rod and spoil the child, right? When we get out of line, God uses these beast kingdoms around us, you know, to spank us and bring us back in line. And why did God always put His people under people like these Edomites, you know? And even when they had Jews over them and they were rebellious, their kings brought them into bondage, brought them into trouble, brought them into a curse. Well, the same is happening, you know, with Christianity. The same is happening with the land that we live in right here in America. Well, great tribulation is coming. Great troubles are coming. But the Lord's faithful. He's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to give us His wisdom. It's going to be a wilderness experience, but we're going to have the joy of the Lord, and He's going to separate His sheep from the sheep, just like our Lord Jesus did. He was King David in his day, and he separated his sheep. He led them into the wilderness, and he fed them, and he multiplied the fishes and the loaves, and he gave them wisdom from God, and they were highly motivated of the Lord. Once again, the Lord's going to repeat history around the world for his people. So rejoice, saints, and give thanks unto God, and cooperate with him in this process, because he's going to destroy the Edomites from our midst. He's going to make us one flock. You know, one reason we can never be one is because of all the tares sown among the wheat, all the Edomites among the Israelites, right? Can't be one. There's so much division, so much trouble. Christianity is so scattered and so schismed, you know, so divided. And if you go back in chapter 34, you see the reason is that the shepherds are feeding themselves. You know, they're dividing up their little sect and causing division between their people and other people of God for the purpose of dividing up their little sect, building their own little kingdom, you know. A sect or a division or a strife, that's caused a lot by the preaching that's being put over the pulpits, telling them how bad these other groups are and how good they are, and generally sometimes it's just the other way around even. But causing division and strife among God's people. But you know what? The Lord is going to restore his people to unity and peace. And those who want to be divided after the order of denominationalism, well, they're ultimately going to be rejected from the people of God, because that's a work of the flesh.